This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
That's Dennis Howlin. He's one of the employee owners at Tab. Comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And we're happy to have you with us on this lovely Saturday morning. We don't have very many of those lately. And so, and now it's nice and sunny out there, and I'll be doing mulch and stuff myself this afternoon. But this morning, we're talking tech talk. We're talking technology. We're talking all the wonderful things that is technology these days. And one of the things that's so wonderful is Microsoft is in the news, of course. This is a Register article, and we'll play a little sound in a second here. But Microsoft is a national security threat, says White House. This is an ex-White House cyber policy director. Ooh. This guy is A.J. Grotto, and he thinks it's fair to call Redmond's recent security failures a national security issue. Now, if you have listened to my program for almost the entire time I've been on it, I've been saying similar things for my entire time on the show.
Oh, yeah.
The disappointment that is Microsoft is deep and wide. And now, of course, folks are realizing the issue that we're in because it's just so ubiquitous, right? It's everywhere. And they are such a large entity that it's hard to break free of that addiction. And, you know, they're a huge target, and I'm going to play. Joey's producing for us today, so he's going to play a little bit of sound from an interview that AJ Grotto gave to the Register. So, play that for us, there, Joey.
That concession isn't going to cost them that much money either, right? I mean, right. You know, for a company, Microsoft's the biggest seller of cybersecurity services in the world right now.
Right.
Last year, the company, you know, put that. Their revenues at $20 billion for security services was double the previous year. And so, you know, giving the federal government, you know, an extra bump of logging capability is like nothing.
It's peanuts. Yes. All right, right. Thank you, Jerry. Right.
Even though they ended up.
So that's just a little clip from this interview the Register did.
Oh, and that was part of the problem with the previous exploit from late last year.
Right.
Was that not all of these government
agencies,
cloud tenants,
right,
had that kind of logging available that the people working there would have been alerted to what was going on,
right?
Because they didn't pay the extra amount of money,
right,
that Microsoft was extorting, excusing me, charging me,
right? Exactly.
And so it was insane.
They basically were, you know, hacked by the Chinese. This is the government itself being hacked by the Chinese on the GCC high government Microsoft 365 tenant type of access that should have been, that costs quadruple what it costs for just regular business. And on top of that, you had to pay extra for the logging capability. And then, and just to hear AJ talk about the fact that Microsoft made $20 billion in cybersecurity is literally an oxymoron as far as I see it when it comes to Microsoft. You are making money charging people to protect them from your operating system
and your cloud services.
It's it's just flabbergasting, right? I mean this is again what Tab does for our business clients. I mean, we went into the business world of IT hoping that we would help our customers become more productive, more, right. You know, they could pump more widgets out faster, better, stronger. We can rebuild him. No, that's a $6 million man. Same idea here, right? We want to make your business better with technology. But no, we spend all of our time, literally, almost all of our time, protecting you from the operating system that runs it.
Right, and cleaning up all the stuff that breaks.
Constantly.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with AJ, and if you've listened to the program, I've talked about this for a very long time. What type of industry is allowed to operate this way? If they were an airline, just imagine how many planes would be falling out of the sky.
I know.
Right? Or if they were a car company, just imagine how many of them wouldn't start.
Right.
I mean, it's crazy. Oh, we'll charge you 20 extra billion if you want to have that extra super duper starter in your car. But for the regular folks, you know, we're not going to charge you that. So we'll put this link up here out here. You can listen to the interview. It is kind of interesting from the Register of AJ Grotto. And what he thinks of Microsoft and being a national security threat. Not my words exactly, but I've been saying it for a long time. As far as what we have to deal with here, it's crazy. Anything you want to bring up there, Dennis?
Yeah, I wanted to bring up something that's not exactly a security threat, but it's a privacy threat.
All right.
It turns out that GM is being sued by some car owners.
Okay.
What they're suing over is data that is collected by their car.
By the OnStar, right?
By the OnStar system in it.
Yeah.
And is being transmitted to GM.
Yeah.
Because that's what the thing does.
Right. Even if you subscribe to it or not.
Well, there's some questions about that.
All right, cool.
Okay, but I'll get to that in a moment.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. It ships data up to GM. GM then turns around and resells it to third-party data brokers.
Right.
The third-party data brokers then sell it to insurance companies.
Wonder why the insurance companies want this, folks.
The insurance companies want that driving data so that they can look at their own insureds and check their driving patterns and then crank up the rates if there's something about their driving habits they don't like.
And as far as I'm concerned, I love that.
Well, it would be fine if the drivers knew that this was going on.
Well, yeah.
The question is they are not being told.
Right.
They're not being told that it's being sold to third-party data brokers. GM's position is that they are being told about it.
I'm sure it's in the EULA.
It's got to be somewhere.
Right. As you turn on your car, it's a big EULA you got to go through every time.
Well, at the closing, when you buy a car,
you're
supposed to go through a sequence of screens that at least in theory is supposed to tell you this.
Right.
There was an article in the New York Times from a reporter who's been covering this topic, and her family actually bought one of these cars.
Yeah.
A little while ago, and she saw what GM reported is supposed to happen, and she knows for a fact that it didn't happen during her closing.
That reporting.
There was a screen that she was supposed to have seen.
To acknowledge.
And GM insisted that she had to approve it. It was not shown to her.
Mm-hmm.
The only way that it was skipped was if somebody in the sales department at the dealership accepted that for her before the closing began. And then she never was shown it during the actual closing and signing.
All right.
And it's kind of a mess.
That's a mess. It's not fair that you're not told about it, but we have such poor drivers in this country. How many wrong way crashes does it take before we realize these people can't drive?
It's becoming almost daily news here.
I've actually thought about putting in a dash cam purely so that I could actually record the idiot drivers that are in front of me on our highways and start a YouTube channel saying, you insure these idiots, and actually try to make sure I can get those license plates. So maybe the insurance company can actually go and take a look at what idiots are being videoed and crank up their rates, because it's crazy. I mean, there is actually no deterrent out there. There's the occasional trooper out there, but I mean, I don't see troopers actually pulling people over ever. When I grew up in the 80s, 90s, there were troopers out there pulling people over left and right. Now I don't see them. So there's no deterrent.
In my mind, it's not even just the highways. There are towns that I've gone through where on town roads, people are routinely blowing stop signs. They just drive right through the intersection.
I've seen they're blowing, happens they're blowing all lights over the place. Now. I mean, in that East Hartford, too. I see it all the time. They blow right through the red. It's like, so, you know, I kind of appreciate a little bit what the insurance companies are trying to do there. Not necessarily crank your rates. If these guys are bad drivers, crank them. And take away their keys if you have to. It's fine
right, but don't surreptitiously take their data when they don't even know that it's being exposed to anything.
The assumption should be at this point that you are being tracked.
Watched
and tracked and monitored.
Yeah.
If you don't think that, I don't know what to tell you, but you're living under a rock. And this is only going to get more and more and more pervasive to the point where you think about things like OnStar. OnStar can turn off your engine if they want to.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
They have power, from what I understand. So in other news, not to freak you out or anything, the FCC decided to restore net neutrality. Mm. And here's what it means for the internet, according to the ZDNet article here. As we talked about net neutrality long ago in the past, it's basically treating all traffic on the internet equally. Again, that's not how a network works. So basically the idea here is that ISPs, internet providers, can't treat traffic differently. They ensure all traffic is treated equally without discrimination. So again, a packet is not a person. I mean, you're trying to apply something that is illogical, to how a network works. And, this is again, typical of government regulation where it's not needed. The internet has done just fine. Nobody's complaining. We've actually seen broadband growth. Companies like GoNetSpeed have come in, improved our bandwidth just due to competition. And you don't need some FCC out there saying you need to treat all packets equally. Because basically, if you think about that, they could treat them equally miserably.
That is true.
You know, socialism, that's how this whole thing works, right? So this is these dinglings that are out there, right? So yes, we want you to treat all packets equally. So then, of course, the internet companies could say, okay, so voice traffic, we're going to treat the same as data traffic, as the same as video traffic. And so now when you try to use voice over IP on your phone systems, that traffic is going to be stuck behind the Mack truck of a 8K video somebody else is watching. You can't operate that way. It is not helpful. So getting the FCC involved in this, in a problem that doesn't exist, the internet's done just fine. I don't see anybody complaining about the internet. It's expanding. It's growing. People have more and more access than ever. And that's simply because of being allowing competition. And this is just going to be a mess. According to the FCC, these changes mean that the agency can now play an active role. Oh, great. When workers cannot telework, students cannot study, or businesses cannot market their products because their internet service is out. Well, I'm not sure how net neutrality deals with outages. Outages occur all the time.
No, 99.9999999% of the time an outage happens because of somebody's own equipment. It doesn't happen because the internet isn't carrying their data right.
Right. Or treating their packets equally.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Again, this is more government where we don't need it. Put the link up there for you. You guys can read it, and you guys can now feel comfortable that all packets are being treated equally. Now, again, on the highway, you can take the HOV lane. How come your packet's not being treated equally, right? In some highways, I mean, I've been through Virginia. You guys have been down through that. There's actually high-speed lanes you pay for to not be treated equally, considering think of your car as a packet on the network, right? How come we have understood to move packets that way, where you pay a little extra to go a little faster? Somehow that's okay, and the FCC does not get involved there. How come they're not upset with the highway network neutrality? How come everyone's not treated equally, FCC? I know it's not communications to drive on the highway, but it's the same idea.
Yeah, it is.
Why is that okay? And it's not okay. And if I want to pay a little more to get a little better, why is that not okay? So when they say treated equally, it will be equally miserable. Equally minimum, right? Now you're going to you're telling these ISPs they can set it at a level now. What level is that? The level that it's just fast enough so that you don't scream.
That's right.
No innovation.
Right. As soon as there's regulation, all they're going to do is meet the bare minimum to live up to that standard, and that's it. That's all you're ever going to get.
Right. So we'll see what happens there, but it's a mess. It's ridiculous. It's a regulation that's not needed. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number, and we'll take your computer calls, comments, questions, and concerns. We're here till 11. We'll be right back.
She's trading her MG for a white Chrysler LeBaron.
All right.
I want a girl with a short skirt and a long...
We are back. This is Computer Talk. We're here till 11. And feel free to get online on this lovely Saturday morning. 860-522-9842 is the number. And we'll go right to your calls. We got Brian and Tallinn, who wants to talk a little bit about net neutrality. What's happened, Brian?
Hi. I remember when the early discussion about net neutrality was going on, my very tech-savvy oldest son said that one of the purposes of net neutrality was to keep ISPs from blocking sites they didn't like.
Right.
Right. Do the rules actually prevent that?
Yes. So here it is. ISPs will again be prohibited from blocking, throttling, or engaging in paid prioritization of lawful content. So you're right. But the thing about that argument was it was a red herring, right?
Yeah.
ISPs are not the ones that block content. It's the actual content providers that do that.
Thanks. Right. So the net neutrality rules affect that too, right?
No.
Oh.
Net neutrality has nothing to do with
it. It has nothing to do with the content provider.
Right. So, like before.
Net neutrality solves a non problem
right.
and does not solve an actual problem.
Correct. So, when Elon Musk bought X and put out the Twitter files to show all that censorship that was occurring, especially during COVID, this does not fix that. Elon is you need an actual provider like Elon to say, I'm going to do my best to allow the information to get out. So,
okay. So our government servants at work.
Yes. Yes. They're fixing a problem that doesn't exist, Brian, because the internet provider doesn't care.
Right. They're fixing a problem that doesn't exist and not addressing a problem that does exist.
Correct. Well, they're actually adding
You might even saying they're exacerbating a problem that does exist.
And yes, and the weird line that I put on here was that's right here in the article, engaging in paid prioritization of lawful content. Now, where does the government talk about lawful content? Does that sound also a little suspicious in that there could be some additional censorship that the government would like to now enact? It sounds to me, that line actually sounds to me like giving the government now even more censorship abilities. Because what is lawful content, Brian?
Well, under the law as it used to be, lawful content would be something that's not defamatory or inciting violence or that sort of thing.
Right.
But I guess it could also mean saying unhelpful things about vaccine programs or taxes or
any of the things that the government doesn't want the actual discussion to go.
Not that the government would ever weigh in on that, of course, because right. that would be a dirty pool.
That would be, wouldn't it?
They would never contact a content provider and say, you should really block access to this newspaper article because it's not giving good content.
It's not towing the party line. No, they wouldn't do that. They wouldn't block access to PhDs that actually have, you know, plenty of experience in immunology that talk about alternative approaches to pandemics. They wouldn't block content like that, would they?
Well, of course not, because all the reputable PhDs were working for the government.
Right. Yeah, so this is what's going on, Brian. You got it right. It's a problem. They're solving a problem that doesn't exist and maybe adding a little more control over what lawful content is. So the ignorance is bliss. Idiocracy exists. Here we are.
It's a great country.
Yeah. Well, it is a great country. I'll definitely say that. But you can't make it up, man. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, if you want to talk about net neutrality, this is something we've talked about for a very, very long time. This is an issue that's gone on back many, many years, maybe even a decade or more. I have to go back and check where the government is trying to fix a problem that does not exist by making sure every packet is treated equally. And and when that occurs, as you know, everyone's equally miserable. We'll be right back.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we had a caller call in and was confused about how packets are impacted by computers, and they didn't want to go on the program. But we're here to talk to you guys about anything you want when it comes to technology, any kind of computer comment question and concern. And we've been talking about Microsoft. We've been talking about the FCC and its net neutrality rules. And, you know, it's an issue to my heart here as far as the silliness of this new rule.
Hey, I'm excited, though. We finally got a new update for our company laptops here.
Yeah.
My Ethernet jack finally works.
Nice.
Literally from day one, the first update that Microsoft pushed down, the Ethernet jack stopped working.
On your computer.
On my Dell Inspiron funness of...
Now it works.
Now, finally, a year and a half later, Microsoft and Dell got together.
Wow.
And they came to an agreement we should probably fix this patch.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say, this is similar to a problem that came out maybe 5 years ago with HP's laptops. There was a wave of them that were released with sound hardware and drivers that were mismatched.
Ah.
It had, I think, Realtek audio on board, but it was Intel drivers or Kinexant drivers, something like that.
Yep, yep.
And because of how Microsoft deployed the drivers, it was causing the computer to load the wrong ones.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
You didn't get sound.
Period.
It would act as if you had no sound card.
No sound
card.
For you.
No sound right. for you.
It took them over a year between HP and Microsoft. It took them over a year to fix it.
Wow.
I know because I called HP tech support to have it fixed on my computer.
Yep.
The person that worked on the computer rolled back a particular Windows update that loaded that caused the issue.
Interesting.
And then he turned off Windows updates
right.
on the computer.
Yep.
He went through and turned off every service connected with it. and I said, "Do you know what you just did?" Mm-hmm. He says, "Yes, I fixed your computer."
Yeah, yeah.
I said, "No, no. You didn't.
You didn't.
You didn't even come close to that.
You kept it into a state of working that will never change."
Right.
Yeah.
Put a shirt over the gunshot is all he did. Yeah. The problem's still there.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's same thing.
Well, because it's not iteration. HP's problem, it's Intel's problem. Intel says it's HP's problem.
Right, and it's Microsoft's problem.
It all comes down to Microsoft's
it
problem.
It tends to. Wow, that's crazy. So, well, I'm glad it was fixed, Joey.
I got a dongle if anyone needs a USB to Ethernet jack dongle, because it's the world of dongles nowadays.
I think you're actually putting too much faith in the fact that it'll stay working.
Yeah, that's true. Let's give it till the next update Wednesday and see how it survives.
That's the key. I mean, I'm leaving my house. My wife's trying to do bill pay through our bank, and error 1001. She's like, "What's going on?" I don't know. Well, I'm an IT guy. I don't know what their problem is on their.
That's
bill
a process
pay.
That termed in Windows, but who knows why?
Yeah, and this is running on a Chromebook, running the app to do bill pay.
Oh, Chromebook. Okay.
Yeah, so it's an actual error within the app, and she's like, "What's wrong with this?" I'm like, "I don't know. Just because I work with computers doesn't mean I can help the bank's app."
It's the ubiquitous blue screen. Scan this QR code.
Right, exactly. So just start by rebooting, honey. I got to go.
Just write a check.
Exactly. Yeah. No, you can't write checks anymore, Joey, because then you write the check, they get stolen out of the mailboxes.
That's true.
And then they rip you off.
Right. They launder your check.
Yeah.
And then the checks still get processed digitally, so...
It's amazing.
Yep.
All right. So as we wait for your calls, feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. Did you want to bring anything up, Dennis, technology news-wise?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've been complaining about technology, but I thought maybe I'd mention a real technological achievement.
Nice.
NASA finally restored communication with Voyager 1.
Wow.
After might be almost a year.
Yeah.
Okay.
It went silent. Yeah.
Yeah. It went silent, stopped responding, sending anything back. They were finally able to figure out a bunch of things about what was going on.
Yep.
And determined that there was a particular chip on board that had failed.
Wow.
So what they did was they trickled out instructions to move code around and put it on other chips to remove this one from the equation.
Yep, the failing
chip. And then be able to run the code that would then stream the data back.
That is truly amazing.
Yeah, I mean, that had to have been a lot of hard work, a lot of sending, you know, little batches of instructions, and they have to wait and see what comes back. I think it's an hour away. In real time.
Really? So you send the code out.
Because of how far away it is. Yeah.
And it's not responding back, so you're hoping it actually is going to do something, right?
Correct.
There is no response.
They would have to just send the instruction,
yep.
Hope it completes in the way that they expect it to,
yep.
Then send the next one, right. Hope that completes the way.
It's kind of how my wife works when she talks to me.
On.
She's hoping it's going to get through my head.
Until finally the code is rewritten so that the thing can talk to it, talk to them.
Truly amazing. I mean, RMM, remote management and monitoring, that's really what our company's MSPs are all about. I mean, managing workstations for our clients, same exact thing. I mean, trying to deploy software, trying to just manage a system, try to get the alerts from it. Us doing that even on a daily basis, imagine doing it the way NASA had to do it, is truly a feat that they actually got it solved.
Yeah, and think about how primitive the computing equipment was that was on board.
Oh, my gosh.
At that time. I mean, you're talking...
70s, right?
Or late 70s, it was built, yes. So that's what they had to deal with, and that's what they're programming.
It's really, I mean, it sounds like silly, right? So they literally are just adjusting the antenna chips to try to communicate back. But to be able to do that with only one side of the equation talking back,
yeah,
hoping it receives it, that is just, that's like, it's like Apollo 13 when they're like, guys, we got to scrub the air there with these CO2 things, and we got to fit a square peg in a round hole. I mean, here's all they got, some duct tape and some hoses, and they made it work. Remember you seeing that? Remember
yeah,
that scene?
Yeah.
I mean,
all right.
NASA is, you know, it's an amazing institution. It would be nice if they could do more with space than they can, but again, it's a government institution.
Right.
And you got, Elon was just talking about its, I don't know, 100th. Or 300th launch, some crazy amount of launches they've been doing.
Right.
So, I mean, it's almost like we should just privatize NASA at some point and get some more results because they're such smart people bound up by the government.
Well, when I was reading the article, I was imagining, you know, a situation that we deal with. Sometimes we'll have instructions to solve a problem and it'll say, you know, send this command.
Right.
And it will even, the instructions may even tell you, you're not going to get a response. It's just going to do what we say it does. And whenever I'm reading procedures like that, I'm thinking, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't like that. I want to know. I want to get a return back that says, yes, I did this for you. Now the next step. And they didn't have that for months.
No, that's an amazing discipline to go through that. So congratulations to NASA. Anything else you want to bring up? Joey is taking calls. So 860-522-9842. Is the phone number anywhere in the country. If you're on your cell phone, it shouldn't cost you anything extra. Everything we talked about has been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. You can listen to the interview there with AJ Grotto from ex-White House cybersecurity expert talking about Microsoft and the threat that it could be. Not Joy took the call again. You didn't want to go on the air? We have people calling Joey.
No, that was just a different question.
Gotcha. Are you fixing people's calls?
No,
we get to see him.
So back to the rover, like we can do that, and I got to reboot my computer when I fix a software patch.
Exactly. Oh. Yeah, I know.
Like I have to update a firmware, and you need to restart. They're able to fix a rover halfway across the galaxy. Nope. Yeah, we got this.
It is truly amazing. It is truly amazing. I don't think Voyager used Microsoft as an operating
system. Probably not.
No.
So there's that.
I think they used Grumman or something like that. So
very cool. We'll put that story up there for you guys as well. So we're going to step out for a quick break. Four lines wide open on this lovely Saturday morning. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. Lines are ringing. A couple lines open for you. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842. Quick story. I had a client call me yesterday afternoon, and they had an idea. All right? They had an idea. And I love it. You know, it's good to have ideas. So they have this cottage on the lake, which is awesome, right? And it's got some other cottages in close proximity. And it's just a three-season cottage. It's not heated. It's not insulated. But it's a beautiful spot on a beautiful lake here in Connecticut. And his concern was that, how would he know if there's a fire?
Oh.
So he's like, so here's my thought, Eric. And he goes, I'm going to buy one of those Ring doorbells that actually hears noises.
Yeah.
And the idea here is that if it's the wintertime when they're not there, the Ring doorbell will hear the smoke alarm. And he'll be at least alerted to the fact that his cabin is burning up.
Uh-huh.
So, of course, as part of that, we had to figure out what type of wireless router he's going to need. But unfortunately, the wireless router's minimum operating temperature is 32 degrees. So, I don't know. I mean, Voyager's chips obviously operate in colder than that.
Yeah.
But here in Connecticut, you know, a little router... The coldest it says it can operate in is 32 degrees. So if he does have a fire, he'll have to wait for the place to warm up a bit with the fire before the router will kick in. And then the Ring will say, hey, you got a fire, and then it'll be gone. There's got to be a better way, but this is the direction he's considering. But it is an interesting thought. I mean, that's the kind of stuff we deal with, right? When you start thinking of ways to connect solutions out there and how you're going to solve a problem. You know, yeah. He's trying to solve a problem. It's a way to solve a problem, and it may work. I mean, I hope he never has to hear it.
Right.
Never has that issue. But when it's really like 12 degrees here, and it will get 12 degrees again.
It will.
I promise. That little router might not be working.
Ouch.
Yeah. A little story. All right. We're going to go to Tom and Harwin. Tin, no G in Harwington. Harwington, hey Tom, how are you?
Hey, how you doing, Eric?
Good, good. What can we do for you?
All right, so I got a stupid problem, and I know what you're going to tell me, but here's the problem. I have a throwaway email account on AT&T. I had it a long time ago, and it's not really my main email account. And I do use it for just monitoring some places that I don't really want them to know my real email account. So
yeah.
This morning I go to get on it like I do every morning. Yesterday, no problem. Today, it comes up with the screen that I need to log in. And I called you about this once before. And all you have to do is click on a link that says signed in. And it just brings you back into the email account. Okay?
Yep.
Okay. So I'm on it right now. I'm going to do this as I'm talking to you. So I click on signed in.
Yep.
A new screen comes up. It says, let's make sure it's you. Well, okay.
All right.
That's a good idea. We like that.
Yeah, that's good.
They never did this, but they want to send a verification code to a Google Voice account I have, because I have a regular phone. It can't receive text messages.
All right.
So I had to get a Google Voice for text messages. Yeah. And I look at the last five numbers, and it's my number, but they're not showing the first five.
Yeah, that's fine. Yep, that's your number.
So I click on send. I don't get a text message.
Right.
Now, I've been doing this all morning long. I mean, it's been hours, and still nothing's come through.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can't get that text, that code to enter into their screen to log in, I can't get into my account. So like I said, I know what you're going to say about free email accounts, but...
No.
that wasn't actually coming to my mind.
No. Yeah, that's a whole other issue. This is just how to access an account. But go ahead, Dennis.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So I can't get that code.
Yeah.
I've tried logging out and just logging in normally from scratch, and I run up against this over and over. I'm thinking maybe they're going to come to their senses and realize they've screwed up and they're not sending the code.
Nope.
I actually called, I called my voice, Google Voice, just to make sure the account is still working, even though I get crap from different places every day.
Can you have somebody text
it? Took the phone call.
Can you have somebody text that Google Voice and see if you get the text?
No.
Well, that's the key here, buddy. We got to have see if that text is going to work.
That was what I was going to do. Receiving texts that way.
Well, I get voice messages to this every day.
Voice messages or the text of the code?
Voice.
And is the
not
two
the text.
Okay? Is the two factor then that they're going to send a voice? Because sometimes two factor allows you to send a text or a voice call.
Right. It'll actually call you. And then it will say, this is so-and-so, we're authenticating your connection, press 1 to accept and 2 to reject,
or they'll audibly give you the numbers.
Read off a code. Yeah, sometimes they do that too.
So if you're hoping your Google Voice accepts a text, which is probably what's happening here, it may not accept that text. That's why you're not getting this message.
Hmm. Well, it doesn't even show up as a phone call.
That you're getting a call, and they wouldn't because it's a text.
I'm getting neither. That's my point. I mean, I called my voice.
And it works.
See that it worked.
Yeah.
I get stuff from Newsmax every day that I just delete.
Yep.
I ignore that.
Right.
But there's no communication at all.
No. Well, again,
ATT.
Believe it or not, this is a good thing. You want your accounts to be secure. So many people are in so much trouble because their email accounts are not secure. This is a way to secure it. What's most likely happening is you're asking it to verify you with a text, and your Google Voice can't accept your text. Now, I don't know if it can or can't. I would have to check that, but I don't think Google Voice can.
Eric, my Google Voice can't accept text. I use it for text for Amazon and other things.
Oh,
like
you do?
That.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
So you get all that.
I didn't try to get a text from Amazon today. But the fact that I'm getting phone calls registering, I assume this voice
Okay, I agree with you.
Is still active.
I agree with you. So if you've gotten text before, then you're right. Then it is back on Yahoo's system. Now, they should offer you a way as a secondary way to get that verification.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, it depends on them. It
depends on what they've set up, like security questions that you can answer.
Right, like what's your first pet, where did you live on, which street did you live on, who's your favorite teacher?
Or an alternative email address they can send something to.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let me stop you, because on the screen where they want me to enter the verification code that they sent to my Google Voice, there's an option that says try another way.
Yes.
So... Yeah. So I clicked that. Guess what happened?
I don't know. It sounds like nothing good.
Nothing good happened.
No.
Oh, I'll be damned. It just logged into my account. I was doing this morning, and it came back with saying, we'll send a message to that Google Voice.
So wait.
And it's like, it's a catch-22.
Yes, it is. All right, so you're in the account now. So they
just got in the account.
They seem to have acquiesced, or you clicked try another way, and there was no other way, so they might...
I was doing that this morning over and over again.
Well, you're talking to us now, all right? And that's the difference.
That must have scared
him. We must have.
It's the IT guy effect.
Yeah. So, okay. You know, while you're in there, though, Tom, because we only have a few seconds left before the top of the hour here, make sure your 2FA is set up correctly.
Right.
All right.
I did set it up.
Take a look at what's there now and make sure that it's right. Also, make sure you have another secondary option, like in another email address or something of that nature.
All right. We got to go, though, Tom. Okay.
All right. Thanks for the help.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.